Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what we're doing right now by reading this ad.
All we had to do was read 30 seconds, and they gave us some money.
I hope so.
Otherwise, we've been had.
Well, it only works if people listen. So
we've been bamboozled.
We have been bamboozled again. If you have a passion, if you have something you want to do, something you want to share with the world, something you think that you might be better than other people at, or just, you know, marginally talented at, I think we're
if you just like hearing yourself talk.
Oh, absolutely. Just pop over to Anchor. To get started, go to anchor.fm/start and join the Brew News crew and hundreds of others who want to share their passion with the world. That's anchor.fm/start. Welcome to the Brew News Podcast, all the news that's fit to brew. I'm Andrew Jennings.
And I'm Travis Matherly.
And today is our final style episode for the year?
Yeah. I'm going to say it's our final, well, it's not the final episode of the year.
It's because we have
three more after this, yeah, but it's the final, it's our final recording of the year.
Our final recording of 2018. This is our winter warmer special.
Yep, we are doing winter ale. So as we've done Oktoberfest, Halloween pumpkin beers, now we are seasonally...
appropriate?
Yeah, it's wintertime now. It's cold as crap out today.
Yeah, it is. Gosh, it's not as bad as it was in Chicago last week or no. 2 weeks ago. When was I in Chicago?
I don't know.
2 weeks ago? Yeah.
Eh.
Yeah. I was in shorts in Arizona 1 week. The very next week, I'm like battling snow in Chicago. I'm like, what the heck?
And now it is like a... balmy 35 degrees here in North Carolina. So it's perfectly acceptable for us to have winter warmer ales.
Definitely. So let's get started on their history. This is an otter one, not an otter like a Maris otter or something.
Yeah, not a grain. Yeah, not a malt jokes. We never did find that otter named Maris.
I mean, they're barley funny.
That feels a little, that joke's a little spent to me.
All right.
Got it. Last one.
Oh.
I love it when I win.
Sorry.
Well, before we get started, the history of it, while Andrew's recovering himself, this will follow our typical seasonal style episodes where we don't have like the history of any one particular brewery. We're going to just go over the history of winter ales as we drink some winter ale. So we'll be taking a break during the episode to sample these delicious beers.
Yeah. So the original winter ale was started as a wassailing.
A wassailing?
Wassailing. Yeah, sure.
You go wassailing every year.
I do go wassailing every year.
You go a wassailing. And by that, we mean Andrew follows like a old men's chorus where everyone is his father's age or older.
I bring that mid-range.
You bring the pizzazz.
Honestly.
The energy of youth.
I'm usually the second youngest person because my brother typically joins us.
Oh, okay. Well, man.
We have like a whopping two millennials, a Gen Xer, and everyone else is a baby boomer.
Ooh, man.
We're killing it. Killing it.
Killing the choral game.
Yep. So,
carols. Corals.
Corals?
I was thinking of chorus and carols.
I got a high quality carol game. Wassailing is actually not an English word, even though it is something the English like to do. It is from the Norse vesheil, which means a toast. Prost.
No, it's a toast, which actually means, it doesn't mean a toast. It is a Norse toast, as Andrew just said, but its literal translation is to be of good health or fortune.
Yes. And the wassailing itself has a 1,000-year tradition in England. And this is, the toast itself is a tradition of sharing and drinking a bowl of hot spiced ale.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily any one beer that makes it a wassail. It's just kind of like, you know, kind of to me, it makes me think of like mulled wines and mulled spices and that kind of thing.
Like Travis was saying, this includes a lot of things that were not necessarily a particular ale. This time of year, this time in beer history, over a thousand years ago, beers weren't really regimented well. They could be just about anything that would ferment. Wassailing, the toast itself actually included things like liquor, sugar, spices, everything nices, fruit, eggs, and toast floats. Yay!
What's a toast float?
You float the toast in your ale thing.
You put a piece of bread on top of your ale to float, but then it would sink eventually because it becomes soaked through. Even if toast,
you soak your bread in it.
Oh, so it's like gravy.
Yes, beer gravy,
or non-beer gravy.
Ooh, non-beer gravy.
Eggs? Is that where eggnog comes from?
No, it actually that's where the Roman toast comes from. If you watch Big Bang Theory, you'd know that.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've watched that show. Actually, no, I do kind of remember that now that you mentioned that, but not specifically enough.
That's fine. So this was originally served warm because it was supposed to keep you warm on a winter night. And so let's start with our first winter warmer.
And it is actually British.
Yeah, we're going to try something new today.
Yeah, so this is Sam Smith Winter Welcome Ale. It comes in at 6% ABV, 32 IBUs. Sam Smith is one of the larger British breweries. At least it's fairly popular, I think.
It's the oldest, I believe. I'm not certain it's the largest.
Mm-hmm. I just always think of like their...
I think Bass is the largest by far.
Yeah, probably. That would make sense. But Sam Smith, I always think of like they have like a chocolate stout, I think, that I've had before, but it comes in like a big bottle. It's like a bomber.
Yeah. So this is brewed, their bottle says it was brewed at Yorkshire's oldest brewery. And blessing of your heart, you brew good ale. From Bill Shakespeare.
Good old Bill Shakespeare. Thank you, Governor.
Thanks.
Samuel Smith, not to be confused with Sam Adams, is a registered with the Vegan Society. So this beer is actually suitable for vegans and vegetarians, as are all their others, I'm assuming.
No, just this one. Oh. I didn't check the others.
I thought you meant the brewery as a whole was right. I was like, that's impressive.
That would be impressive. Apparently, we don't count yeast animals.
But they are living.
So are plants.
But when you drink them, can you hear their screams?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's why I eat plants. I want to hear them scream. So what they actually did with this, it's a different beer. The winter warmers are going to be very fairly malt forward. This is no different. It has a malt that's balanced with whole dried Fugl and Golding hops. Each year they have a new label for this beer.
Oh, and every year the label has a different picture. Mm-hmm. What's the picture this year?
It is two gentlemen banging on that's a barrel, Sam Smith Old Brewery Tadcaster barrel, and it's nice purple background. I love the flower on top.
Well, okay, that's a little better. Andrew was holding it, so I was looking at a picture of two horses.
yours is like a painting sort of situation.
Yeah, their labels are traditionally, so this says 2018-2019, so I guess they do it like
it's available
end of the year, beginning of the year kind of thing.
It's available until January, if my memory is correct.
Yeah, their labels are always fairly busy, especially for something like you wouldn't imagine like British breweries. Like you would expect it to be a little more like cleaner and proper looking or like traditional, but their labels are extremely busy and have a lot of stuff on them.
Yeah. So as we get into tasting this, I want to talk about what they do. The body of this beer, they say, is a result of fermentation in stone Yorkshire squaws and luxurious malt character. That's the two basis. But these stone Yorkshire squares are actually really old fermenters.
I mean, it's just British talk, but you had lost me there at stone Yorkshire squares.
No, they're not something delicious from British baking.
I think we've already touched on Great British Baking Show a lot, but we're watching another season of it now at home, so I just love that show.
It's so
although
awesome.
The new seasons make me miss Mary Berry so much.
I know, but old Greg's there.
Yeah,
so.
It is. This actually smells...
Oktoberfest-y.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It smells a little skunky, too. Kind of like a Heineken.
A little skunky, but I'm getting a lot more like caramel skunk. Like
this smells almost exactly like Yingling's Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
I mean, not that that's necessarily a bad thing in itself, but it does not smell like I thought it would.
It tastes a lot like it, too.
I don't know if we said the IBU. I did say it came in at 6% ABV, but it is 32 IBUs.
Which is about in line with what we'd expect from Oktoberfest. And it does taste like a lager, not like an ale.
Yep, that's a little... That's weird. It is malty, but it's definitely got like a bitter hop water flavor.
Explain?
Well, like, so it... There's not a lot on this beer on the palate. Like, it is a little caramely and it is a little malty, but the bitterness of those hops, like, really comes through, and it's a little thin. So it just feels like you're drinking, like, really bitter, like, hop water. There's not a ton else going on there. Now, it is, like you said, a little bit colored like an Oktoberfest, and it's got some good head retention. Like, it's got a little frothy head on it, and
it does taste skunky. It tastes like an Oktoberfest.
Yeah, that was not at all what I was expecting that to be.
Nope. Well, let's. So we've just had our first English. We didn't serve it warm. Maybe we should have served it warm. That would have.
We should have boiled it.
Warm, not boiling.
At a low simmer.
So I'm assuming this is not using the oldest recipe I could find. But the oldest recipe I could find was an 1835 English recipe where you pour a pint of strong hoppy beer.
That would
be like an IPA.
Well, this would be hoppy. I would give them hoppy on this.
Yeah, maybe an 1835. You pour a pint of that beer over a half pound of brown sugar.
That's a lot of brown sugar for one pint of beer.
Mm-hmm. Not done yet.
That's exactly a 2-to-1 ratio.
Yes.
Pints of pound the world around, Andrew. 16 ounces.
Yeah, that is. So 2-to-1, 2-to-1 beer to sugar ratio. Then grate nutmeg and ginger. Great.
I think nutmeg. I've thrown Andrew with my math skills there off the top of my head.
I wasn't expecting it. Grate some nutmeg and ginger into the mixture. Add 3 slices of lemon and 2 sugar cubes rubbed over a lemon peel. So
wait, that is like oddly specific.
Yeah. Then you ferment the mixture with toasted bread for a few days.
Why are they constantly toasting their bread to put it? And how did one toast bread back in the 1800s?
Toss it in the oven.
Well, true, but that's how you baked it. So you had to retoss it in the oven. I'm imagining in
how
my mind,
how do you toast bread now? Does your bread just
I was thinking of a Christmas Carol where they have an open pit fire and there's a cauldron over it all the time. So what do? Just kind of like scoot it close to the fire?
Please, sir, can I toast my bread?
God bless us, everyone. I was wondering how I was going to work that into an episode. And there
we
went.
Made it.
But no, that's like so oddly specific to me. Add 3 slices of lemon and 2 sugar cubes rubbed over lemon peel. Is it the same 3 slices of lemon, or do you have to have a different lemon? And it's like, this should be like, and then you get the 2 sugar cubes from Old Man Jenkins down the street, and then you have to go to so-and-so's. I can't think of any like funny offhand British names. But it just like it seems like a really intricate bartender recipe these days for a beer.
Take 3 lemons that you purchase from Old Master Felding. From Felding, you must go down to Spelding.
Lord Chesterfield.
He has an ale. Okay, so once you've done all that, you fermented it for a few days. You then serve that warm with hot roasted apples floating in the beer. So you go bob for your alcoholic beer apples.
I wouldn't suggest that if it's served hot, because then you're going to burn yourself.
Warm. You want
it. You drink it down, and then you eat the apples out of it later like moonshine.
No, not the British way. However, now you're flirting with a Scottish recipe. So the Scottish recipe I found from about the same time period. So the English, it's a beer, a lot of sugar, make this sweet.
It's a little refined, it's classy.
Scottish, half pint of whiskey to a quart of beer.
Plus 2 eggs. Because why not? Because it's cold as crap in the Scottish Highlands and you need the protein.
So that is a 4-to-1 beer to whiskey ratio. And then you add 2 eggs to it. This was used to...
Do you scramble the eggs or you just crack them in like Rocky?
Crack them in.
Now see, a lot of cocktail recipes now use egg whites.
Yeah, I'm sure this one...
I'm sure they weren't separating their eggs back in the 1800s.
No, Scots. What are you expecting? They would use this recipe to, quote, get a man's boots off on a cold night.
That seems sexual in nature.
Yeah, just a touch.
Whatever blows your kilt up.
Oh, don't you know, wee lad.
All right, Scots were too busy being at war with other Scots.
Yeah, so while the Scots and the Brits are doing some sort of crazy stuff with their beer, the traditional winter warmer style that we all know and love today is actually more of an American in origin with a heavy British influence.
Yeah, so, well, that makes sense because America's founded by Britain, so obviously you bring your brewing traditions. Then I'm going to imagine there's probably some German influence on that winter warmer style, all of that kind of stuff. I still can't get over all of that, but With that being said, let's go ahead and break for our second beer of the night from Anchor Brewing.
So we chose this one because Anchor is actually the oldest craft brewery, still functioning craft brewery. I'm not counting Yingling. I'm purposely not counting Yingling as a craft brewery. It's the oldest still functioning craft brewery in the U.S. And their holiday ale or Christmas ale is one of the oldest craft winter ales, winter beers.
So that would mean, let's see, Anchor Brewing was established in San Francisco, California in 1896. So that puts them close to Yingling.
They're about 60 years younger.
Yeah, but they're another brewery. They're like one of the only other breweries I would think of that went through Prohibition in America.
Yeah, that's craft brewery. They survived Prohibition. They actually were the OG craft brewery coming out. They're the only one that existed up until the late 70s, early 80s.
Well, there you go. Until they changed the rules, now Yingling's craft brewery.
Yep. So,
and that's why they're number one.
So this is the Anchor Brewing. So like we said, this is a formerly British, crazy Scottish style that came over to America where it really became popular. It's 6.9% ABV, 40 IBUs, and it's a secret hot malt and dry hop blend.
Ooh. Ooh, secret. That's what makes it special.
Yeah. So this
the secret ingredient is love.
It's not. Trust me, it's not. It's actually steel from the anchors.
It's cinnamon. Yeah, it's rust off of all the old ship anchors in San Francisco.
So they change the recipe every year. So that's why it's a secret. They also call it their, quote, special ale. That's if you find an Anchor special ale, that's what you have.
Yeah, and it's their bottles kind of have, if I can see one, I can explain it. Yeah, so normally their labels are a little oval in shape, and they've got like a really red border. Normally, there's a big anchor right in the middle of it, but for their Christmas ale, the anchor has been moved to the side and a giant fir tree of some sort.
No. So, that is not a fir tree. That is a Korean pine tree, which is a symbol of peace and native to the Korean peninsula.
Well, fine. It's a different tree every year, but it's still a Christmas type tree.
Yes, it is a conifer.
And they have the, there you go. Getting deciduous on me. Evergreen?
It is. Deciduous or not
evergreen. I don't know. Plants? I only took a year of horticulture.
I didn't take any. Oh, okay. This is their annual Christmas ale. It's subtly spiced and sumptuously smooth winter warmer. So every year, like we said, Anchor has a new recipe for their special ale. This leads to a variety of specialty malts with this one particularly has a variety of specialty malts lending rich flavors of brûléed sugars, holiday spices, and freshly baked banana bread.
With a velvety finish.
The aromatics are quintessential for the holiday season, nutty, candied yams, and resinous pine. It pours a nice mahogany brown with a fluffy head.
Fluffy tan head.
And like we said, they change the tree on the bottle every year. This year it is the Korean pine tree, and the can art is actually done by the same guy.
You mean every the bottle year. Art, sir.
Whatever. Sorry. Jim Stitt. Mr. Stitt does the bottle art every year, and he changes it. He's the one. If you have problems with the Korean pine tree, talk to Mr. Stitt.
Yeah. And this is actually kind of interesting because I've had various years of this beer. It's not one that I normally like try and grab every year, but I think we were at a local bottle shop not too long ago, last year at some point, playing trivia one night. I just went to their cooler to find something because they didn't have much on tap that I wanted. I think I'd already drank what I wanted on tap, and they randomly had a 2014 in the cooler. So
Craft City?
Yeah. I didn't say the name because they're not sponsoring us, but yeah.
Yeah, but they're the ones that would have like weird stuff.
But they had the 2014. I tried it, and surprisingly, this beer, if you do find it and get it, they age quite well.
Let's find out what this one tastes like this year.
Well, tell me, because you already took a sip.
I tried not to.
It is a little resiny.
I'm really going to rely on you, because the nose to me is, I got a little bit of like malty characteristic early on, but I'm not getting anything anymore.
I'm going to swirl.
Oh, yeah, do your trick.
And cap. Hold it for a few seconds, and so it is malty, resiny. It does smell a little sweet. So that brûléed sugar thing where it's like kind of a burnt sugar almost is fairly accurate, but I don't really smell spices.
That's a lot more like spicy hoppy than I was expecting. It's not like like pepper or anything like that, but it's got just a little bit of that like hop spice we were getting from the New Zealand we brewed.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting. It is spiced, but those spices are a little... I think we ran into this problem during another recording where the spices kind of... I don't want to say they dry out my palate on this one, but they linger. Like I took a dab, like I dipped my finger into a spice and then put it on my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of sits there and it is a little nutmeggy. It's very nutmeggy, actually.
I don't dislike that. For a winter ale, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I can see why these age fairly well, though. If you let some of that spice fall off just a little bit,
mm-hmm.
it might would be a little better. But drinking it hot, it's still a fine beer. It's just not as good as some of the other versions I've had. So I don't know if this year is just not particularly to my taste, but it is a beer that I've had before and enjoy. I will give them even a little bit of the banana bread thing, though. I do get, because I guess banana bread is kind of spice similar mm-hmm. in that way. So yeah, I could give them that.
See, I was looking for more banana, less like... Honestly, I think like a Belgian yeast would
work. You were looking really more well. For like a Hefeweizen?
Yeah, like a Belgian yeast, though. Some sort of banana-flavored yeast would probably work really well with that to give it more of that banana body. So we sort of talked about the traditional British winter warmer, a wassail ale. Wassailing. The wassail ale, so that's spiced ale. And then there's the
vassail ale.
What was the toast? I'm just going to go with that from here on out. The Vessheil ale. So that's the spiced version. The other version is using an English strong ale as the base, and you use hops actually to create flavors and spiciness. And that was more like the Anchor. The Anchor is not using spices, unlike the Sam Smith. So those are your two basic styles. This leads to one general winter warmer, as we're going to call it, as I guess it is called. They tend to be amber to mahogany in color, which the first two we've had, you'd say about fit that bill?
Yeah, the Samuel Smith was actually a little lighter than I thought. It was more golden. Mm-hmm. That last one was darker, much darker, actually. And then the one we've got coming up here shortly is kind of more of a caramelly color, but they are reminding me of like Oktoberfest in their color.
Yeah,
or like an amber lager of some sort. And these generally, these American winter warmers generally are greater than 7% ABV. 5.5 to 8.5% is not untypical.
And their IBUs is going to generally be between 35 and 50, so you're not looking for particularly hoppy beer, even if you're using the hops to make that winter warmer.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's because those IBUs are higher than I thought that they would be for a winter warmer, but that's probably, like you're saying, attributed to the fact that you're using hops to create the spice flavors and notes, whereas the British style leans on the actual spices themselves.
Right. Additionally, to get that dark color and to make some of that malt spiciness, fruitiness, they contain candy or dark fruit malts, and the American ones will have a spicy hop garland.
So they put up garland around the tree that's just spicy hops.
Oh, Christmas hop, oh, Christmas hop.
We should start hanging hops over the doorways instead of mistletoe.
Whole cone hops are hard to get hold of, though. Hop pellets are not nearly as exciting.
Just a string of hop pellets put together. But the original winter warmers were Pyramid Snowcap, Deschutes Jubilee, and the Anderson Valley Winter Solstice, which, perfect segue into our third beer of the evening, which is the Anderson Valley Winter Solstice Ale.
So it's like we planned it.
It is. It's like you looked at the notes and inserted that exactly where you wanted it to be. Anderson Valley is out of Boonville, California, and established in 1987. We'll probably do an episode on them sometime next year in the near, because they have a lot of really good gozas.
I'm pretty sure Anderson and Anchor will both do next year.
Yeah. So the Anderson Valley Winter Solstice Ale is 6.9% ABV. This one is shockingly only 6 IBUs, so that's extremely odd, and I'm not sure how that's going to play out. This uses Northern Brewer and Liberty hops. The malt bill is actually Pale 2-Row, Crystal 40L and 80L, and Munich 20L, whatever that means.
It's just the hop. It's just the malt. Just the
liters.
Malt.
Yeah.
I don't. No. I think it has something to do with the roasting time. Crystal being the varietal, and then the 40L, 20L, 80L, whatever. That's the roasting time.
Oh, okay. So this is their take on the winter warmer style. Mm-hmm. Boasts a deep amber hue and rich mouthfeel. Its creamy finish will lift your spirits. Hints of toffee, spice, and caramel tease the senses, making this the perfect ale to share with friends and family during the cold days and those long nights of winter.
Right. So this is actually going to be more in line with the
There's Vasa. No credit there for like the emphasis that I was putting on that, like it was a dramatic reading.
Sure.
Whatever. I don't know why I try. That's it. I quit. I can't quit. We have three more beers to drink.
Four.
I'll quit after. I'll quit after we drink.
This is going to be more in line with the Wassail Ale. It's actually a spiced ale, not done specifically with hops.
That smells really good.
I like it. It's got a nice toffee. I'm definitely getting some
heavy toffee. Yeah. They say on the back of the bottle that it is a brilliantly clear dark copper color with a dense tan head. Caramelized, malty, and spicy aromas. Redolent. That is a $2 word.
Especially the way you said it.
Yeah. Redolent of cinnamon, allspice, black currant, and black licorice.
I'm not getting the fruit tones.
You're not getting the currant?
Yeah.
See, I'm not familiar enough with currants, but I will give them some of that licorice.
I think I get the currant in the flavor. I don't get it on the nose.
See, I wasn't going to say currant, though. I was going to say it was almost a little figgy, like our figgy pudding.
It's not a pudding.
And figgy pudding is not a pudding. It's a bread.
It's also not a Newton.
No, which is what figgy pudding was named after, right?
Sir Isaac?
Sir Isaac Fig Newton.
Yeah.
Hard to believe that guy's middle name is Fig.
He got around. He got into Figgis. Everything. Ooh, Sir Isaac Figgis.
Sir Isaac Figgis. No, now we're just off in the weeds.
But I don't think he's going to question us. He did.
No. Wow. That tastes...
It's sweet.
Completely different than what I thought that was going to taste like.
Yeah, it's real sweet.
That tastes almost like a sugar cookie.
I don't think it has quite the breadiness or the doughiness for a sugar cookie.
It's like that... So what I mean by that, like, stay with me.
Made a bread.
It's that crystallized sugar
yes.
part on top of a sugar cookie.
I know exactly what you're talking mm-hmm. about. Yeah. That's a good description for this. It has some of that caramel tones to it, so it's like mm-hmm. that caramelized sugar. It's only 6 IBUs, but you barely pick that up at all. It's sweet.
Mm-hmm. It'd be like a plain sugar cookie, like maybe even with just like some caramel pieces stuck in it. Mm-hmm. Like it just tastes like a baked caramel cookie to me.
Yeah, I can see that.
And like that burnt sugar. So where that other one, what was it?
Sam?
Yeah, with the creme brulee.
I didn't get
actually. I think that was
the anchor.
Yeah, creme brulee that I didn't get. This one very much is that.
Definitely.
This reminds me almost of fresh baked cookies out of the oven. Like I would, we should have somebody bake us some cookies and then re-drink one.
That would be really good with this. I see now why this is considered one of the original American winter warmers.
If they could all be like that, I would be extremely happy.
Don't worry, they're not going to be. But we're going to take a quick break and we'll get right back into the history. Mm-hmm. And we're back. So where were we in history? We had some Anderson Valley that's considered one of the first of the three original winter warmers in America. Ironically, Anchor was brewing theirs before Anderson Valley even existed. Details.
Don't get caught up in the details.
And a lot of my information comes from the Beer Bible and from searching.
And the internets. And if it's on the internet, it has to be true.
Sure.
Yeah.
I feel all the truth in the world is on the internet, but also a crap ton of lies.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that.
All right. So like many of our craft beers, the Islay style was pioneered on the West Coast. And the
what style?
What?
What did you say?
Like many of our craft beer styles, they were pioneered on the West Coast.
Oh, I thought you said something like in there and called the winter warmer style something completely different that I'd never heard of.
No.
Sorry, zoned out there for a split second.
And because Americans were a little leery about putting in spices, that's why American winter warmers lack spices in general. They're going to be more, the hops are going to provide that spiciness, the flavors, the flavoring, because American brewers in the 1980s, so this is like the rise of Sierra Nevada, Anderson Valley, New Belgium, all these folks, they're trying to stay away from non-normal beer ingredients. They're not quite German 1516 purity laws, but they're closer to that than the wassail ales from Great Britain and Scotland.
Yeah, but that kind of makes sense because back in the 1980s, craft beer was like just starting to become a thing in America. And so, like we've talked about in other episodes, where like brewing a bock back then was considered like extreme.
Woo! Yeah. A bock! Look at this bock! Was it Sam Adams claimed they were one of the original pioneers of extreme beer with a double bock? I'm like, woo. Yeah.
And nowadays, you can like bat an eye, like everybody makes a bock. Who cares?
What that? Double Bock? Bring me triple Bock. Mm-hmm. You're talking.
Bring me a quad Bock.
Quad Bock. Ooh, is that even going to the quad Bock.
We're going straight through the quad Bock.
The penalty Bock.
That was a good one. The batter Bock.
Ooh, the batter Bock.
Gotcha.
Dang it. We're going to have to do Bock, like a Bock beer series. The penalty Bock, the batter Bock.
The goalie Bock.
The hit Bock for the gamers out there.
Hit Bock.
Yeah. It's for if you're doing like fighting games, every character has a hitbox, so where they can be hit.
All right, nerd.
I'm just going to move on. these beers are typically going to be very malt forward, and they're going to have a hoppy nose, and the alcohol provides a warmth and a feeling of hot in the beer. That's common. So you're expecting these beers to be a little hotter, a little boozier, even if they're not quite, you know, those imperial stouts we have in the year in review,
which yeah, well, they're hot, not hot, hot, hot. You're getting a warmth, but it's not the same as like a alcohol heat. Like, it's, you think of how like when you drink stuff like liquor, scotch, rum, bourbon, whiskey, that kind of stuff, you get a warming sensation, which is your the alcohol dilating your blood vessels, which gives you a false sense of warmth. Even though you're not actually getting hotter, you feel warmer. So that's the same thing. It's like it's meant to open you up and dilate your blood vessels. So the warmth is coming from the alcohol in the beer, which is meant to mimic that of a liquor, I'm assuming.
Or a Scottish winter warmer.
Yeah. It's meant to mimic your eggs.
Yeah. So speaking of those older U.S. breweries, let's have the Sierra Nevada winter warmer.
Let's go back to a brewery.
We
brewery.
Have we've a, already, a brewery. A brewer.
We've already profiled this year in Sierra Nevada.
All right. So the Sierra Nevada Winter Warmer is 6.7% alcohol, right in line with what we were expecting. 29 IBUs, yet again, right in line. They use German Magnum hops for the bittering and Callista hops for the finishing. Hmm. Their malt is two-row pale. No shock there. Munich and Double Roasted Crystal and Carafa 3.
No idea what that is.
It's the third Carafa. It is one more than the Carafa 2 and one less than Carafa 4.
This beer is rich and malty with a touch of sweetness, and this beer lives up to its name. Crack open a winter warmer and tell the weather to show you what it's got.
And their can, bottle alert, I got yelled at when I say can art when it's a bottle.
These are literally all bottles. There are no winter warmer cans that I'm aware of.
Laura was just saying that Red Nose is in cans. Red Nose. So this one, it says Sierra Nevada, and then in letters it says winter warmer, but the winter is designed to look like a campfire, like a fire, and the warmer is supposed to look like the embers.
Oh, or it's supposed to be the stones around the fire pit.
Yeah, I could see that.
I instantly thought of that Christmas special, whereas he's Mr. White Christmas, he's Mr. Snow. And then the Miser Brothers. That's it. Oh, Heat Miser and Snow Miser?
I don't know.
Cold Miser?
Cool. Who knows? All right, let's just get to tasting this thing.
I really need to watch some Christmas
specials. We are not watching Rockin' What are they? The Rand and...
Were you going to say Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
Yes. Did you not see the one where Rudolph fought Frosty to the death?
And then the Bumble Cornelius.
Cornelius, the undefeated master of the Yukon.
Yeah, he refereed the whole thing.
Of course. He's
on his Bumble.
Well, who doesn't ride the Bumble? When you have tamed the Bumble. You can't be beat
Yukon when he's got Cornelius, his Bumble. That was it, damn.
Well, Hermie, of course, is out there like... just
practicing to be a dental assistant.
Yeah. Rankin Bass, that's what those are called. Those are called the Rankin Bass Christmas Specials.
man.
Wow, we digressed.
That smells pretty good. It smells similar to the Anderson Valley, actually. Not as strong on like the
fruity, not as sweet, not as sugar, and it doesn't taste that sweet.
It's got a slightly smoky smell to it. Like I feel like I'm got a hint of like liquid smoke in that.
Better than me.
I know.
There's gonna come a day. One of these
today days. Is not that day.
No, it's not.
There's definitely something, the smoky isn't in the flavor profile as much.
No, it definitely sweetens out. It reminds me a lot of the Anderson Valley, but it's clearly distinct.
I feel like that one is a little more cinnamony. It's not even like a heat coming from the cinnamon though, but I feel like that one's got more of a maybe nutmeg. That's going back to that thing where the spices just aren't playing that well with me today.
That's cute.
Where like it just feels like they linger too long after the beer is done. Mm-hmm. The sweetness is gone. The roastiness is gone. The caramel's gone. And I'm left with these like just spice notes over in my mouth. Like it should all kind of like the Anderson Valley did. It should all wash away like together.
Yeah. I do think it reminds me of the Anderson Valley. This is an inferior version of it.
Yeah. Because that Anderson Valley just made it, the mouthfeel on that thing was huge.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt like you drink it and it just, like, exploded.
Yeah.
Whereas this kind of feels a little lighter than it smelled.
So, if you're going to choose one of these two, definitely get you the Anderson Valley.
Yeah. So, let's wrap up the history of the Winter Warmer. Now that we've had Sierra Nevada, we still have two more left to go, but...
We'll get to those.
Yeah, we'll get to those momentarily. Don't you worry.
Those are our... I'll have a good analogy in ringers. A minute. Oh. No, not ringers. I was going to say our cult following. What are like things that are... These are our Rocky Horror Picture Show and like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies.
You say Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, the original movie. Following? Well, yeah, it's an independent
film. Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, that's a cult following. Anything with a cult following. Fight Club. Yeah, I guess so.
Because we're in middle school.
What? Are we fighting in middle school?
No. Just that was like a cult following thing. Like, I feel like everybody watched that movie in middle school. And then like, as you grow up, you're like, yeah, this is kind of ridiculous.
I didn't watch that till college because I had to for a class. Not going to lie. Also, oh.
And Monty Python. Anything Monty Python.
Anything beyond Holy Grail. I think Holy Grail has fairly broad appeal.
Life of Brian?
Yeah, that's cult following. So let's get back to the history.
So with, we talk about that alcohol warmth and the feeling of hot beer. The common flavor palettes for winter warmers are dried fruits, a la cake, fruit cake.
Which we haven't had a single one that's got that.
I would say the Anderson Valley was close.
Yeah, it had a little bit of fruitiness in
which one was it? The Sam Smith or the Anchor that was banana bready?
It was supposed to be the Anchor.
Yeah, that one, I can give him a little bit of banana bread, but that's not like, this isn't like dried fruit, like overly dried fruits. Also tones of caramel and molasses, akin to gingerbread probably, and sweet bready / toasty flavors because of all the toast that they put in the beer.
It's also because of the heavy malt bill. But these also are going to include winter spices such as cinnamon, nutmeg, and clove.
Which I have been pointing out all evening except the clove because, I don't know, I feel like cinnamon and nutmeg...
Overpower clove.
They can. If it's not in the right proportions. But clove is typically something that you would associate with the Hefeweizen, which goes with banana.
Right.
So
I was expecting more in that, quote, banana bread anchor.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing is, if you've been following along, we've been talking specifically about winter warmers, not, quote, winter beers. Because winter warmer, while according to the Great American Beer Festival and the World Beer Cup. Winter warmer is not a style. It's not a true, quote, true style. It is not the only winter beer that people drink. A lot of times people in wintertime will switch to stouts and porters.
Yeah.
These are their own style, their own unique thing. So we figured we wouldn't try and shoehorn them in because when we do our stout episode, it's probably going to be like a year in review where we're just blitzed.
See, and that's interesting, though, because I was just getting on Untappd to see what they characterize some stuff as. They characterize Winter Warmer as a style on Untappd that you can check into. You know, they have Winter Warmer. They also have the category of Winter Ale. So let's just see, like, What's an easy one that we've done to type in?
Anderson Valley. Just type in Great Lakes Christmas Ale.
Yeah, like I typed in one of the other ones we're going to have here in a second, Cold Mountain. That is listed as a winter warmer. Mm-hmm. Great Lakes Christmas Ale is characterized as a winter ale. Yeah. So they make a distinction for some reason between winter ale and winter warmer. I'd have to talk to Untap, or we'd have to talk to somebody at Untap to see what the distinction is between what makes one or the other to them.
No clue.
Maybe it's the addition of actual spices.
Maybe, because we've talked about the Wassail Ales and the American English Strong Ale variants. So there are two distinct strain lines of the winter warmer. One is more spiced ale. One is more hoppy-based beer.
I could see that being the determining factor for them then.
Yeah, I could see that working. So,
which
one do you want to start with? Do you want to start with local or Cleveland?
You take Cleveland and then I'll finish her off.
Sounds good. We've not done Great Lakes Brewery, but we have done their Oktoberfest. They do a good job with seasonals.
They do, and their regular beers are not bad either.
No, they're not.
We'll probably have to do Great Lakes next year at some point as well.
Well, we will, so we can stop using them for all the seasonals.
Yeah.
So this is the Great Lakes Brewing Christmas Ale. It is set, they're founded in Cleveland, Ohio in 1988. It's a 7.5% alcohol, 30 IBU Christmas Ale. It uses Mount Hood and Cascade hops. It uses Harrington two-row wheat, Crystal 45, special roast, and a roasted barley for the malt bill. And it includes some spices, such as honey, ginger, and cinnamon. I was about to say ginseng.
I wondered why you emphasized ginger in such a way, but yeah, go ahead. Ginger?
So it is a Yuletide's worth of holiday spices and sweet honey to keep you a-wustling all season long.
So this sounds like the exact beer that you and your entire men's chorus of Christmas carolers need to be singing while you go a-wustling. You
think I don't have a beer cap with this in it?
I could see at least one of you carting around a cooler on wheels.
I mean, we started a bar and we ended a bar, so we...
Well, there you go.
Yeah, we solved the problem. So this is it has some accolades on the Rate Beer Style rating. It has a 99. It is the 6-time medal winner at the since 1999. So since 1999, it's won 6 medals at the World Beer Championship in gold, only in golds and silvers. Now I don't know what category they entered themselves into.
That would be interesting. Well, that's World Beer Championships. That's not World Beer Cup, and that's not Great American Beer Festival. So that competition could potentially have one. I'm not aware. I don't know anything about the World Beer Championships.
They could also be entering as like Spiced Ale.
Yeah, you could. Or, I mean, you just could. Yeah, or there could be like a specialty category like other, like ale other.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Now, the Great Lakes Brewing, their bottle art tends to be pretty minimalist. It's Great Lakes in black, in white, in a black background, and their centerpiece is a rail cart hauling, looks like Christmas ornaments.
Yeah, they're little red Christmas ornaments. It's like a little, the train around the bottom of a Christmas tree.
I used to think those were cranberries, so I was expecting this to be like a cranberry ale.
Okay, I'll give you that they kind of look like cranberries, but yeah, they're obviously, the tops of them are like little Christmas ornaments, like the little red ball Christmas ornaments. You definitely smell the ginger.
Ooh, yeah.
Wow.
Where's my wasabi and my California roll, baby?
Yeah, I'll take all of that and you can have the ginger.
That's fair. So these two beers, the reason we chose the last two beers we're doing is because they have a heavy cult following. If you follow Great Lakes or Highland on Twitter, they are pimping hard.
People that don't even drink Great Lakes like throughout the year do not drink any Great Lakes beer. Go nuts over Great Lakes Christmas Ale.
It's got a huge following. People always post
like, "We've got Christmas Ale in stock. You better come and get some while it lasts." Da 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 da. I mean, it's like it's insane. People that like post about this every year, like, "Finally, that time of year again. Got me some Christmas Ale." I'm like, this, you know, it's good, but it's, I don't know that it deserves the cult following that it has, but it definitely, they've got themselves a niche with that one.
Oh yeah. They've done a great job with it.
And it's been a while since I've had this.
It has for me. I don't think I had it last year.
Well, if it tastes anything like it smells.
And it does.
And it do.
How do you feel about ginger?
Well, I think she's a great lady. And
she was my favorite Spice Girl. Actually, she wasn't.
She was my favorite character on Gilligan's Island.
Oh yeah. What about Marianne?
Marianne, if you wanted the brains.
Honestly, it was the millionaire's wife. Let's be real.
Thurston Howell the third, Mrs. Howell. Really, I would have filed suit with the company for that tour. Let's see. I checked this in last year, and I think that's my only check-in of this beer because I haven't had Untappd that long. It says first Christmas beer of the season while watching Christmas Vacation.
Well, it is your fifth Christmas beer of the night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how the times have changed. I get the honey, though, on the flavor profile when you drink it.
I'm not
on the nose,
anything.
It's like solely ginger to me.
Yeah, I'm only getting ginger. I'm not getting anything on the... Maybe some honey sweetness on the back end, but I'm not getting anything else. None of the... What else they said? Cinnamon? Okay, maybe some cinnamon heat.
Well, see, and that's what's kind of hard to tell with some of this stuff because it's so strong in ginger. And ginger and cinnamon do the same thing. They provide a type of heat to something. And the ginger to me, and it smells and tastes like freshly grated ginger, like not like ginger powder or like, you know, fake like ginger spice something. That smells like a freshly grated ginger root.
Yes.
And it tastes heavily of ginger. So the cinnamon to me is lost, but I do get a touch of that honey sweet. And you're right. Like if you wait a second after it's kind of faded, you do start to get that honey sweetness on your tongue as it fades away.
I think we're ready to try our final beer of the night, our other beer with a cult following. This is the Highland Brewing Cold Mountain.
And that is it, folks, for the last episode of the season that is not a year in review. We are going back to where it all began. Back to Highland Brewing, our first episode.
For our Oktoberfest, we did a Great Lakes and a Highland.
Yeah, we did Clawhammer and...
their Oktoberfest.
Yeah, we did. I'll be dang. We did it again.
It's
we
not got... my fault they make good beer.
Well, yeah,
true. Both that. Of them do.
So, Highlands, as anybody who has listened to our show since the beginning, and if not, for shame, go back and start at the beginning.
It is our most popular episode, however.
And also our shortest.
Yes.
Somehow we went from a 30-minute episode to like an hour and 10 without even trying.
Yeah.
Because we were just mic shy back then.
Oh.
Two guys with a...
head
pot in
the
dreams. Pot in a dream.
I remember when I think the unknown episode, we were scrounging for topics. Then Prairie, we had even less information about the brewery and we managed to talk for an hour.
Yeah, that's just because now we like to hear ourselves talk. Anybody who's followed us since the beginning or is familiar with Highland Brewing knows that they're based out of Asheville, North Carolina. They're Asheville, North Carolina's oldest brewery, established in 1994. So when we said that Great Lakes Christmas Ale has a cult following, Highland has a huge cult following for Cold Mountain. I mean, like, they have a release day at the brewery, which was...
like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so when I was following them on Instagram for this, they started touting it like a week or two in advance. Like, Cold Mountain's coming, Cold Mountain's coming. Normally, it comes in bombers, 12 packs. It also comes in resealable pop-top bottles.
Yep.
And those come in two different sizes. I think a half liter and a liter. And people save variants of this, like the Anchor Ale where they age it. Like they save all the way back to, I've heard of people that still have like 2014 Cold Mountain sitting around.
Cold Mountain, Highland does not recommend you age it more than 6 months. Memory. I think I was reading that somewhere.
Yeah. And when they release this at the brewery, they have, I think this year they had somewhere on the order of 6 to 8 variants on tap. Like they have a coffee version, an imperial version, a cinnamon version, vanilla, like all kinds of stuff. It is huge. It's kind of akin to prop day for Goose Island when they release Bourbon County.
Okay. So this year they actually had a 3-day festival at the brewery. I don't know about all the other variants, but they did have a coconut and an imperial cold release this year.
Yeah, the coconut. I remember that one now. But yeah, the Imperial I would like to actually get my hands on because that would be interesting. Highland Cold Mountain comes in at 5.9% ABV, 28 IBU, so both typical for a winter warmer / winter ale. They also use Cascade and Mount Hood hops. The malt bill for this is 2-row brewer's malt, Pilsen, Vienna, chocolate, which is a little different. We haven't seen that yet in one that we're aware of. Wheat, caramel 40, and caramel 60. So, like Andrew said, each November they do a large Cold Mountain release at the brewery before it hits distro that weekend.
So it says on the bottle, tap into the holidays with notes of vanilla, hazelnut, dark fruit, and cinnamon. And it looks like they're not actually relying on any true spices, unlike the Great Lakes. They're doing it almost exclusively on the malt and the hop bill alone.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I get the chocolate, I get the vanilla on the nose.
Well, I would hope that you're going to go ahead and throw chocolate malt into a winter warmer. You should get chocolate or it's just a waste.
Fair enough. But yeah, I'm definitely getting some like chocolate vanilla tones on the nose.
Yeah, I'll give it that. And to be honest, Cold Mountain is not my favorite winter warmer traditionally. It's been a couple of years since I had it, but like when I first got into craft beer, some of the bottle shops that we would go to would be like, oh man, we're getting Cold Mountain in next week. Like, you need to come back like for the release, like it's gonna go quick, yada yada. I was like, man, people are hyping this thing up. I gotta try it. And I tried it and I was like, did not get the hype.
Yeah, but I agree with that. So I don't know if it was like my counterculture days when I was younger or if this year I'm just getting caught up in the hype. I had it this past weekend watching the state game and I was pleasantly surprised.
Have it this weekend.
Damn. Yeah. That's all right. We can still pretend.
I had a 20-ounce pint of it.
Yes, you did. I had just 2 regular pints.
But I was also extremely hungry and extremely thirsty.
Yeah.
I will say the hazelnut, okay, I'll give you hazelnut just a touch, but it's a lot of chocolate and vanilla on the nose. I don't get the dark fruit, really.
No, but I think I get a little bit more in the flavor.
That is a lot of vanilla on the flavor?
I get vanilla up,
vanilla up front.
Yes, that mm-hmm. one.
Front in vanilla.
I get the front, and then it sweetens out, but also waters out to like more of a like a juiciness on the back end.
Yeah, this is actually thinner than you would think it would be.
Mm-hmm. It's probably because they do make an imperial.
Yeah. Chocolate, just a touch. A lot of vanilla, cinnamon, and hazelnut. I'll mm-hmm. give you that. It's like hazelnut. But if you think of hazelnut in the version of like a hazelnut coffee creamer or like some kind of hazelnut flavoring.
Okay.
See, it's different when we do this for the pod versus when we're just out drinking.
Yeah.
Like when you're really trying to pay attention to stuff, because this weekend,
I enjoyed it. It's good.
Yeah, but I don't remember anything about it really. Like, because we're watching football, we're hanging out with friends, we're talking, we're eating. And a lot of times eating changes the way a beer tastes to you, like the way it works on your palate, depending on what you're eating. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm drinking a 20-ounce pint of this, knocking it back, not really paying attention to the beer just because I know it's Cold Mountain. Okay, whatever, it's on special, I'll get it. But then when we do this, it's like we're really trying to pick it apart. So it's like a different way of tasting beers.
Yeah, like everything with Highland, it's a good beer. I enjoy it. I am not certain I'm feeling the hype. And the same with Great Lakes. Like the Christmas Ale, I don't necessarily understand the cult following of this beer.
I don't understand the cult following. And where Highland is normally extremely reasonable on their prices. Cold Mountain is a little high.
Yes,
it is. Cold Mountain is very high. I will say, what did you buy? I say we, you bought the 12-pack. I bought a bomber. I bought a bomber for $8, which is not outrageous.
That's good for a bomber.
But the 12-pack was like, what, 23,
20? 20, I saw them for 25 or 30, depending on which store I was at.
Yeah, 30 is super high. But like that seems out of skew with the rest of the way like Highland's prices are beers.
Correct.
So it's like this one, like they have a couple of beers, I think like the Black Watch series that's coming out too soon.
Yay, it's out.
Those kind of get skewed outside the normal pricing, and I don't understand it, because to me, $25 to $30 for a 12-pack of this is probably not worth it. But it is a good beer.
It's a good beer. Well, Travis, what was your favorite winter warmer at tonight?
That's probably a fairly easy pick. Beer of the night is going to go to Anderson Valley.
Yep.
I would say I was probably actually most disappointed, though, in the Samuel Smith.
I would agree with everything you said. Anderson Valley was definitely my favorite. Sam Smith was... I'll
lovely agree. Singer, but terrible beer maker.
Won't you stay with me?
Is no, we him? Won't. Yes, that is him.
Oh, good. But. Got it right. I get all them, like, British singers confused.
You mean like him and Ed Sheeran?
And that other guy, you know.
One Direction?
Paul McCartney? Something.
The Beatles? No.
I think he had a guy named Ringo with him for a bit.
You mean like Ringgold Hops?
Yeah, Ringo. Ringgolding Hops.
Yeah. No. But yeah, I think beer of the night was Anderson Valley. That was by far like the best flavor profile, whereas some of these other ones. Highlands is different though, because vanilla is not normally a flavor that's associated with this type of ale. So that makes it a little different. And I do like the fact that they do variants of this, and mm-hmm. I would like to try some of those variants, but I never am up there in Asheville when it's released.
Yep.
And I'm not going to go to Asheville solely for this release. I just would have to.
We may next year. We may have to next year.
Okay. We'll do it for the
report live.
It'll be the Brews Fest episode all over again.
Yeah. But yeah, so I guess my final take on winter warmers, they're good. They're fun. I don't think they're a little spicier. They have a lot of good flavors to them, but they're not something where I don't want to pass on them. I think they're good for the season. I do not want to drink them when it's 75 degrees outside, though.
No, so this is kind of like, this is one of those things where it's wintertime, so I do prefer drinking my stouts, my porters, that kind of stuff. These are good beers, but it seems to me because they're not like an actual truly registered style, that there's a lot of variation in it, and there's a lot more freedom to kind of like play around with what it is. So there's no like uniformity between, so like if you broke it down to a base, like no one beer that we tried tonight seemed to have a similar base. It's like everybody's got their own twist on what they think this style is.
Yeah, the closest that were the same was the Great Lakes and the Highland, because they both have the same hop bill, but not necessarily the same amount, same proportions, and they have very take it back. Their malt bills are completely wild.
Well, when you were going to say that, I was thinking, I think we said the Anderson Valley and the Sierra Nevada were very similar, but you were right in saying that the Sierra Nevada was a watered down version of what the Anderson Valley was. So that to me just seems like people kind of play with this style, and
this is what happens when it's not.
It
pale
is what
ale
it
is a pale ale. Yeah. Like there's no. It's supposed to be freelance. It's supposed to be more fun. I'm grateful that some of these companies have this cult following for this beer, because I think it's a good way to get people into beer, because it's definitely a winter warmer is never going to be hoppy. Mm-hmm. So anyone that's like, oh, I don't like hoppy beer, they're never going to have a problem with this thing. It's going to be flavored like Christmas. If you like cinnamon spices, a lot of times you're going to like cinnamon spices, vanilla spices. You're going to like the spiciness to it because it's winter time. Do not serve a cold mountain to someone in June when it's 95 degrees outside, because it just will not end well. But it's really good for the time of year. I think they're perfect for this time of year.
Was the Great Lakes. That was a lot of ginger. Sorry. Just took my final sip of the one and I thought it was the cold mountain, but it was the Great Lakes.
I think they're good for the time of year. I think they're perfect for that, because if you've been drinking, like you said, stouts and porters all day and you want something a little bit lighter, but still full of flavor, this is your beer.
Yeah, you can drink, you know, a sixer of these and be fine.
Oh, whereas, no, you can. Some of them are pretty high alcohol.
Well, it depends on which one you grab. You don't drink a sixer of the Great Lakes at 7.5%. Unless you're down for that. I'm down for that.
I'm down a clown.
But that's the only thing is, like, you can only drink so much stout and porter in a night before it's like, it's so heavy. Three Imperial Stouts in, you're like, not only are you drunk, but you're like, man, I'm so full. This is ridiculous.
That's why I hate Guinness.
Mm-hmm. So this is like drinking a loaf of bread.
It is.
But
this is not like drinking a loaf of bread. No, Guinness is.
We'll probably do Guinness next year for St. Patty's Day.
Yep. Oh, we'll do just an Irish beer episode so we can have at least some mix. Yeah, we'll do that.
Mm-hmm. Anyways,
we'll do some
to wrap cider. It up. I think winter warmers, you know, it's a popular style. People have their ones that it's kind of like an Oktoberfest in the way that people have the ones that like they are devout to.
Yeah, theirs. This is my
winter warmer. I've had some, but this one here is mine.
Right.
You know, like Cold Mountain is my winter warmer. That's what I drink. Great Lakes Brewing is my winter beer. That's what I drink for a winter ale. Like when I think of it, that's what I get. And I mean, that's fine. I have no problem with that. You know, it's like anything else. And we always say at the end of every episode, and I feel redundant, but you know, like encourage people to get out and try other styles of winter ales. Don't just pigeonhole yourself to one. Get out there and try all the different styles that there are and the different variations of a winter ale that you might be able to get your hands on.
Yeah, because the six we had tonight, two tasted very similar, mm-hmm. but the other four, so we had five unique flavors out of six beers.
Yeah.
And they're all, quote, winter warmers. So when we did the Oktoberfest episode, we're like, we're nitpicking. We're like trying to pick out like a little bitty tone. These beers had five very different flavors.
Yeah. And I think that's something that Oktoberfest, that's why people kind of like either love it or hate it. And then they get the one that they do like. This one, there's a lot more freedom to move around and like find ones that you're going to like versus ones that you don't like. So I think with that being said, that pretty much wraps up our final episode of the year. It's not.
No, we don't. We have three more coming out, folks. Don't get crazy.
So, that being said, a little bit of housekeeping there. This will be the final new type of episode for the year. The last three episodes of the year that come out after this to cap off our season, our first official season as the Brew News Pod, whoop, whoop, will be year-in-review episodes, where we have three episodes where we try specialty beers from breweries that we profiled this year, ones that we either couldn't get our hands on or are not available due to not being released that this year at the time of the recording. So those are just going to be massive tasting episodes. It was a fun day for us.
Oh, it was a day.
It was a day. What?
18.
18 beers?
Plus the Yingling. We did that one that day. So we had 20. We did 23
beers that day.
Yeah. The other thing we're going to be doing, just to let you guys know, for our patrons over on Patreon, we will be doing the 12 Beers of Xmas. You will get to see us in person, or at least me.
Say, huh?
Yeah.
Andrew hasn't run this by me yet as the time of this recording, so we will talk about this off mic.
But you later will get to see the 12 Beers of Xmas. We'll be doing a fun little short vignettes on Patreon just for our $5 and $10 a month patrons. So pop on over there and give us a look-see, see what we look like at least.
Yeah, and we have some new ideas in the works coming for 2019 in our second season. We're excited for the things that we have planned. Hope they all come to fruition.
Yep.
There's some major life changes going on for some of us here at the pod.
Yeah, details. Yeah, I know. I got a new job last year, so I'm still trying to get in the feel of that.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
Well, have a great night, everybody.
Yeah. So thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this week's Brew News.
If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to subscribe and give us a rating in whichever app you found us on. We value your feedback, and it also helps the show reach more viewers.
If you have any thoughts or suggestions for future breweries, or are with a brewery and like to join us, feel free to tweet at or follow us on Twitter, @brew_news. On Untappd, Travis is MatherNuts, and Andrew is TubaSteve.
We're on Instagram, @brewnewspod, and you can visit our website, brewnewspod.com, where we will post our tasting and episode notes.
You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Anchor, Spotify, or whichever podcast platform you use.
Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week to look at another exciting brewery.
Cheers! Cheers. Have you ever wondered how you could join the Brew News crew? Well, swing over to patreon.com/brewnewspod and you can join us. We have three different tiers for all of our patrons. At the lager level, you earn early access to all of our podcast episodes. At the IPA level, you get early access to our podcast episodes, but you get special weekly beer tastings that are done by various members of the crew. And you get special video presentations, including our Beermas special. At the stout level, you get everything you get at the IPA level, but you also get to appear on one episode of the Brew News Pod, and when we have some swag, we'll send some your way. So feel free to swing over to patreon.com/brewnewspod, that again is patreon.com/brewnewspod, and join the crew.